Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, I mean, are we surprised at this point? It's going to be discussing another loss. This one way more embarrassing, honestly, than the last 10 of this losing streak, which has now ballooned to 11 games. You know, I can understand when you're losing to like the defending champion Thunder, you know, and you're losing by 20 points. I can understand a 20 plus point loss on the road at Houston. That makes sense. What I can't get behind is a 23 point home loss to the Brooklyn Nets. It gets to a point, and that's been a theme, I think, of the pods lately, is it gets to a point where you can't defend it. Like, you can no longer hide behind the shield of, oh, well, we're tanking. This is good for the tank. Every loss is a step closer to Peterson or Dibansa or Boozer. That shield has a limit. And I don't know if it's crossed that limit yet, but when you're losing by that many points at home to Brooklyn, you're rather uncompetitive for the larger part of three quarters. You have a bunch of your young talent that does not show up. You have a head coach that still can't adjust, and you have a team that is uncompetitive in a year. You didn't think they would play for a play-in spot, but your GM and your head coach sat up there a month ago saying that this team might not win a lot of games, but you know they're going to compete. Other teams are going to feel them every night. That's been such bullshit for the first 13 games of this season. It becomes, like I said, to a point where you can't defend it. You can't just say, well, this is a good loss for the tank. Like, when you look back in April, yes, of course, in May, when the lottery goes on, this is going to benefit the Wizards. No win is realistically like, wow, in April, in May, I'm going to be like, you know what? That's great that the Wizards won that game. But it's embarrassing. A 23-point home loss to the Brooklyn Nets is embarrassing. Whether you're tanking, whether you're contending for a title, one might be more embarrassing than the other. But bottom line, it's embarrassing. Wizards lose 129 to 106 to the Brooklyn Nets. Apart from Keyshawn George, I thought everybody played bad for the most part. You know, you had some moments from Sarr here and there, but he couldn't stay out of foul trouble. He let his emotions get to the best of him at the end of the game. You had Brian Keefe, whose adjustments and rotations still don't make sense. You know, you have Brian Keefe, you have Keyshawn George, right? Who's been in foul trouble, it seems like, every single game. Picks up two early fouls, and a lot of times Keefe will just leave him in, then Keefe picks up his third. Did not learn that lesson tonight. I believe in the second quarter, Alex Sarr picked up his third foul with 4:33 left, and Brian Keefe left him in the game. I understand, like, young player, you want to show him, oh, I trust you. And best believe the broadcast got behind. Like, Brian Keefe trusts his players. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you need to protect the player from himself. And Alex Sarr picked up his fourth foul 2 minutes after that, got taken out. And then less than 4 minutes into the second half, he's got five fouls with 8:42 left in the third quarter. He has to sit for the better part of all of the third and for the first half of the fourth, and Brooklyn just extends its lead. There were a couple times where I really just didn't understand some rotations. Like, again, that's not why they lost. This team is just awful. Defensively, they are one of the worst teams I've ever seen. Brooklyn entered tonight's game, I think, 24th in the league in offensive efficiency. Opened the game shooting 7 of 13 from 3. I can check the box score now, but I believe they finished 17 of 41, which is 41% from 3, which is still a very good clip for them. Shot above 50% from the field. The Wizards didn't make it tough. There were so many times where you just had open shooters, you know, where Brooklyn was just getting whatever it wanted offensively. And I mean, if you watch this game, how many times did they find someone backdoor for an easy layup? It seemed like it was either an easy backdoor layup or a missed assignment from Washington, wide open Brooklyn three. It seems like every night this team's giving up 120 points that they're losing by double digits. Like I mentioned, it's their 11th straight loss. And if they were competitive like they were in Detroit, they shouldn't have lost that game. They shouldn't have lost the Philly game. But if all the games are like that, it's like, you know what? They're there. Like, they can't close games. That's not the case. That's a very rare occasion, because on seven in 7 of these 11 losses, they've lost by double digits. 8 of their, I believe, 12 defeats have been via double digits. They are not close. They are not competing like Brian Keefe and Will Dawkins said they would compete. They are getting blown off of the court by most of their opponents. They're outmatched. Their roster sucks. We know that. Their roster is not good. They're young. They're developing. They're going to be worse than most teams talent-wise. But you can make up for that. And this team seemingly can't. If you look at my comments, a lot of it is just like, how can you continue on with Brian Keefe in this stage? Like, how can you continue to get behind him when his team just consistently fails to compete, fails to stay close with great competition, with awful competition? I mean, they lost by what, 20 plus now to both the Charlotte Hornets and the Brooklyn Nets on their home floor. That does not scream compete to me. It doesn't. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks at home, a team that simply can't find any other success apart from when they play the Wizards. I mean, obviously since that first game when Washington won, but it's what I'm trying to get at here is nobody expected this team to win a lot of games. Like, the wins are not what matters. It's the fact that they're losing these games by this many points. And I already know I'm probably going to have some people in the comments that after I react to most games and most losses are like, Greg, why are you so caught up in this? Why are you so, emotional about a loss when this team's goal is to tank, is to lose as many games as possible? I think it's not the destination and all those losses, it's how you're getting there. At least with OKC, you were like, we're competing in a lot of these games, and we're right there. And eventually they turned it around because they were building good habits. They weren't just losing by 20 plus points most nights. They weren't putting forth embarrassing efforts. They were there. The Wizards are not there. They are not close. They have some pieces. Alex Saar has been awesome this season. Keyshawn George with 29, 6, and 5. He was awesome, especially from three. Apart from that, like, Trey Johnson, the last couple games, has kind of lost a little bit of the spark he had in the first 5 to 6. Bob Carrington, I actually didn't think was awful tonight. Missed a lot of defensive assignments. The defense has been bad all season. But offensively, like, I thought he helped on the boards. I thought, he made some good reads in the pick and roll. But he is not develop the way that you would hope he would develop. You have guys like Tristan Vukcevic, AJ Johnson that are just buried on your bench because you're obviously trying to increase the trade value for McCollum, who I thought was okay tonight, and Middleton. It's a really trying time, I think, for Wizards fans because you have a team that's lost 11 straight games. You have a team that has a bunch of young talent, like Jameer Watkins, who had 19, 11, and 6 in the G League today. Will Riley, who had 25 points in the G League the other night and 17 today before he got ejected. You have young pieces like Keyshawn George and Alex Saar, but you're still losing these games by 20-plus points. You're still not putting any type of effort that screams, fans should come out, watch this team. They're fun. Fans should tune in on only Monumental, I guess, because if you're in the DMV, how else can you watch? They're not there. And so for fans, it's like, well, I want to, at least if we're going to get blown out by 20, I want to see AJ Johnson. I want to see Tristan Vukcevic when it's not just Alex Saar in foul trouble or garbage time, or when Brian Keefe just has an epiphany like, oh, I played this guy the first couple games and he was pretty good. He's still on my team? Oh, yes, he is. Let me play him. That is frustrating. When you have Middleton and McCollum, I get the trade value aspect, but when they're not really playing that great and you're obviously giving them heavy, heavy minutes in these losing efforts, it's like, well, where are we getting here? It's not like, CJ McCollum taking 15 to 20 shots a game is realistically helping Bilal Coulibaly in his offensive development. It's not. And so it gets to a point where you're just sitting there like, this team isn't doing it. They're not making those steps towards competitive basketball, towards that. Okay, we're going to lose, but we're right there with you. We're going to make you earn the win. They're not close to that. And so, yes, they're close to that goal of keeping their pick, finishing bottom four, losing 60 plus games. They're very close to that. I mean, they've won one game in 13 attempts this season. They're doing that part very well. But how they're getting there is not it. It's not sustainable. It's not efforts that are going to, lead to eventual success down the line. It's not cutting it. And I think obviously a lot of people have turned their attention to Brian Keefe because his adjustments have been pretty non-existent. For a guy that was like first day of training camp, it's only defense in practice. If you believed Brian Keefe there, by the way, then come on, man. Like, this team personnel-wise is really bad defensively, but the buy-in on that end, they're low IQ defenders. I mean, apart from Bilal, Sarr, and George, I don't think anybody on this team is like a plus defender. You could argue Cam Whitmore, maybe, and that's by design, I think. Just like it's by design that this team doesn't have an actual point guard to run the offense. A lot of stagnant possessions tonight and throughout the first 13 games. It's by design. But it's also not bad enough to where you should be bottom two, bottom three in the league for what, the third straight season. Brian Keefe hasn't gotten that buy-in from this group. He hasn't gotten them to play competitive basketball and sustain that effort, not just throughout a 48-minute game, but from game to game. They have one of these every now and then. You know, Philly, Detroit, Dallas, and then every other game, it's like they're blown out of the water. That can't happen. And so obviously a lot of people are saying to fire Brian Keefe. I think the Pelicans firing Willie Green has kind of ignited a little bit of that spark from Wizards fans. Like, you know, I didn't think maybe they would fire him, but look, the Pelicans are 2-10 and they fired Willie Green. What if the Wizards do the same thing? I think expectations have a lot to do with that, whether the Pelicans are delusional or not for trading their unprotected first to get Queen last year, and Joe Dumars saying that this is a year to compete when the roster is injured and not good. Expectations, I think, definitely weighed in on Willie Green getting fired. The Wizards had no expectations to go anywhere near the playoffs or the play-in this year, so I don't necessarily think the front office is too frustrated with the results. I think they're frustrated probably with the lack of competitive effort in those results. And if they ultimately think, like, we need to fire Brian Keefe to get that out of it, like, sure, but you're just going to fire the guy you had as your interim a year and a half ago, and then replace him with another interim head coach on your current staff. Like, I don't see the appeal in that. I'm not saying they shouldn't fire him. Like, I do not think Brian Keefe has showcased any semblance of, oh, this is, you know, a good job that I'm doing, and I have these guys competing and playing defense and buying in. He's done none of that. If they fire him, I would be like, you know what? That's probably the right decision. It was going to happen at some point. Maybe they were just like, it's just too bad right now. But factor in, they want to keep the pick. Like, Brian Keefe is helping them get to that point. Do they fire him just because they don't like the competitive level through 13 games? I think they're going to be a lot more patient with him than I'm sure Wizards fans are. That's how it usually goes. Like, a couple bad games, even in, you know, a good year for the team, they're calling for the coach to be fired. But again, tonight, I mean, there are multiple stretches that you can definitely say, you know what, Brian Keefe did not do enough to help his team win the game. You obviously have the stretch, I think, towards the end of the third quarter. It was like a, what, 12-3 run, cut it to a 1-point deficit. CJ McCollum, pretty good on that run, has a couple tough baskets, and you're like, okay, the Wizards are right in it. 85-84, they're there. And then you have an immediate 9-0 Brooklyn run. It's as if, you know, the Wizards just said, hey, you know, oh, Jordy Fernandez, you called a timeout, you made an adjustment, what do we do? And that's been the theme all season, is the Wizards seem lost when the other coach just says, oh, you're doing that right, let me move this guy over, let me change up my defensive coverage. And bang, like, oh, the lead is so easy to get back or to grow. It's the same thing seemingly under Brian Keefe. And so you have that 9-0 run. It's 94-84 entering the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, you know, you would expect Washington to be like, okay, we're down 10 to a 1-11 team. We're 1-11, but let's have some pride on our home court. You know, we've lost 10 straight. You know, maybe we can buy back in. Keefe does not have the guys ready to do that. Brooklyn embarks on, I believe, was it 94? So where's Keith's first time out? 9:17 in the fourth quarter, 102-88 Brooklyn. So what is that? 8-4 to begin, but the Wizards gave up a couple of pretty easy buckets. Keith calls a timeout. Okay, I understand that. 14-point deficit. You know, do things change? They don't. They don't. The Wizards continue to play bad defense. They continue to get killed on the glass. They continue to hurt themselves. And what? Less than a minute and a half later, they're now down 20, and Keefe calls another timeout. It's been a theme. If you listen to these post-game pods, it's a theme where Brian Keith, the opponent goes on a run, Keith calls a timeout, and the opponent goes on an honestly even bigger run after his timeout. It's like the timeouts actually hurt the team and the adjustments actually hurt the team versus helping them get back in the game. If that's your head coach and it's like a couple times, it's like, okay, like unlucky. When it's pretty much every game throughout a 13 game stretch and you've lost 12 of those games, 11 such in a row, clearly the head coach, I don't know if he's the main problem, but he is a part of the problem. He's a central part of the problem. Will they change that? We talked about that a couple minutes ago. Probably not until the end of the season. But definitely didn't think Brian Keith did enough. He certainly didn't have his team ready to play. I mean, you're on 4 days rest. We didn't even talk about that. Their last game was Wednesday night in Houston. You have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning to prepare for this opponent, to prepare for this game, to make to fix some stuff, to adjust. And you go out and give that effort. A 23-point home loss to the Nets? Come on. Like, yes, it helps the tank. I said that in my post-game tweet. It helps the tank. You are now, I believe, in sole possession or maybe tied with Indiana for the worst record in the league. But this is embarrassing nonetheless. And it's going to honestly, it's going to get worse. Like, you have obviously 11 straight losses. Then you have a three-game road trip. You're at Minnesota. They won there last year, but Anthony Edwards didn't play. That's a loss. At Toronto, they're playing very good basketball right now. I would assume that's a loss. At Chicago, they're playing bad basketball now. That could go either way, but I'd also assume that's a loss. And then you're home against Atlanta, who's playing great basketball. So let's say you lose those next four. You're at 15, and then you get another chance at Indiana. I think Indiana's still a solid team. They have Siakam. They have McConnell, they have Nembhard, like they're injured, but they still have some pieces. That could be a loss. And then you're at 16, which matches the franchise record for losses. And they've gotten there three times in the last couple of seasons. I think all three, correct me if I'm wrong, have been under Brian Keefe, which is embarrassing. But this team should be better. Like they should be closer to that mark. They shouldn't be close to the play-in in terms of wins, but like competitive level, they shouldn't be behind last year's team. I think last year's team, what did they win? It took them four games to win two or four games to win two of them. Like I think they were 2-2, correct me if I'm wrong, after they swept Atlanta. Like they were better last year. And then I think they lost, obviously, what was it, 16 in a row before winning, but that team even was better than what we're seeing this year. And this year was supposed to be a better roster. It was supposed to be a little bit of a step forward, not a giant leap, but a step forward. And it seems like they've sort of taken a step back in terms of their compete level. And that's never good. No matter if you want to lose or not, that's never good. In terms of like actually breaking down the game again, like you had Bilal Coulibaly return from his calf injury, four-game absence. He had an emphatic dunk in the first quarter. That was great on Yegor Jeoman. And then in the third quarter, I think he had a crossover right to left explosive dunk. Again, two awesome plays that showcase like why can't you do this more often? Because apart from that, what did Bilal finish with? I maybe 6 points. He ended up, if the stats will load, Bilal ended up playing 28 minutes. He took just six shots, had 6 points. Didn't attempt a three, had four assists, three rebounds, two steals, two blocks. Like it's exactly what you expect from Bilal. It's like the defense is going to be great. He's going to be awesome on ball. He's going to maybe have some explosive dunks that leave you wanting more, but he's not going to be aggressive enough on offense. He's not going to take many threes, and he just leaves you wanting on that end. And in a contract year, it's like this is what I'm expecting from Bilal. Like this is just average baseline, the bottom line from Bilal. It's nothing more. And he needs to show, honestly, in my opinion, a lot more. He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to be more of a focal point and looking for his own shot because it seems like he's just in the corner and he'll pass the ball at times and in transition he's at his best. But apart from that, when creating his own offense, it seems like he's a non-factor. And again, like I mentioned, contract year, he's got to really turn it up. And it wasn't like he was on a minutes restriction. Like he came back, he started, he played nearly 30 minutes. It's not that. He just wasn't aggressive enough. He was a non-factor, and that can't happen. Keyshawn, he was awesome offensively. I mean, 29 points in 32 minutes, 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 10 from three, six boards, five assists. He also had four turnovers, which has been an issue. He had six fouls and fouled out, which has been an issue. Again, it's like the Wizards are who they are at this point. It's like, Bob Carrington maybe shows some flashes on offense, but his defense is awful, and a lot of times he's not even good on offense. Keyshawn George is going to give you around 20 plus points, some rebounds, some assists, but you can bank that he's going to turn the ball over a lot. You can bank that he's going to foul a lot. I mean, I think he's second in the league in personal fouls at like 52 at this point in the season. Averaging like five a game, which is pretty bad. Alex Sarr is going to give you some good contributions. He's been more aggressive, but the hands are still an issue. He's still fumbling it at times. He still struggles to finish through contact. I mean, Claxton was very physical with him tonight. I thought maybe he got a poor whistle, but that clearly got to him. It affected him. He fouled out. They got into it at the end because he was just frustrated at the physicality and that he couldn't get around it. So definitely, it seems like it's the same thing. Keith can't adjust. The team plays really bad defense, especially on the perimeter. I said it in my keys to the game. Like the Nets, I think take the third. It was or maybe the fifth most threes per game in the NBA. And they seemingly just. I mean, they had 41 attempts. They made 41% of them. It's not like that wasn't a part of the game plan. And the Wizards just had no answer. They left shooters wide open. And it gets to a certain point where teams are just dominating them. Whether they have one win, whether they have 10 plus wins. It's uncompetitive basketball. It's embarrassing. And I'm probably going to get some flack for this because a lot of people are going to be like, well, they lost. Like, why are you so upset? It's the same reason I've been upset the last couple of games because you guys will see, like, these are bad habits that they're creating. The fact that Keyshawn George is still struggling to defend without fouling is an issue. The fact that Bob Carrington, through 13 games, they haven't found a role for him. They haven't found a way to utilize him in his best case. Or in his best position, that's on Brian Keith. That's on coaching. It's on Bob to play better, but that's also on coaching. It's on development. It's all these issues and the defense at the forefront where you're just sat there like, how can you get behind this? And it comes back to what I said in the beginning. You can't hide behind this tanking shield forever. Not every loss can just be chalked up as another tank loss. And it's easy for fans, I guess, that don't watch the team when they're losing to be like, oh, why are you so mad? Like, if you watch these games, you would understand why some fans are frustrated and noticeably concerned. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's like, let's go, guys. Like, let's show something. And when you don't show that for a prolonged period of time, when you're losing all these games by double digits, by 20 plus points, you can't defend it. No matter if you're with the tank or against it, you can't defend it. Whether that's, Brian Keith's fault, whether it's on the development, whether it's on the defense, whether it's on the individual players themselves, like you're fully healthy now. You've been fully healthy for four or five games this year, and you're still getting blown out. You're still not competing. Your defense still sucks. Like, it's pretty bad. Is this rock bottom? I saw some people comment that. I don't know. Like, this was expected. Like, you expected to lose a lot of games. I think the way that they are losing these games could be considered rock bottom, but I think rock bottom is like when you're finishing 35 and 47, you're paying Bradley Beal 50 plus million with a full no trade clause for the next 4 years, and you seemingly have no plans to move on from your GM, from your coach, or even try to tank. That was rock bottom. I can live with this a little bit more just because at least the losses are getting you somewhere. At least you have some pieces to build for the future. At least you don't have these awful contracts hanging over your head for 3, 4 years. That's rock bottom. I don't think this is rock bottom. I think this is maybe one of the lower points of the rebuild, maybe the lowest, because they should be a lot more far, a lot farther along than they are. But nonetheless, like I mentioned, it's a good loss for the tank. Like, if you're, again, from that perspective, and you're like, why are you so upset about this, Greg? I understand that a little bit. Like, they're 1-12. They just lost to Brooklyn, which gets Brooklyn one step closer to being better than them at the end of the season and pulls Washington farther away from the pack. I don't think it would have mattered too much. Like, they're going to finish bottom four. But if you're really just, your sole concern is, I'm not going to watch any games, just like lose, lose, lose. I'll check in with you after 82. Hopefully, you've lost 70 plus. That's easy for them to say when they're not watching the games. And honestly, it's helpful for the Wizards. Like, they want to keep their pick. They want to lose games. But I can't really get behind anymore the way they're losing them, the unethical tank, some might say, the uncompetitive basketball. It's gotten to a point where you can't defend it. And so that's kind of going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Washington falls at home to Brooklyn 129 to 106. It is their 11th straight loss, seven of which have come by double figures. Another embarrassing night. I will be back. I think they play Wednesday, 8 p.m. on the road to start that 3-game trip against Minnesota. That'll be a later pod, but if you wake up in the morning, I'll get it posted at night, just like this one. But should be up for all you guys to listen to. I'm sure I'll be recapping another loss. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a 15, 20-point loss because Minnesota's good. But I guess we'll get there when we get there. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate you sticking with me and what's, I mean, just been a pretty brutal season, pretty uneventful season. But you know, I'll be here every step of the way to recap it, and I obviously appreciate you guys making that possible. So thanks again for listening. It's gonna do it for this episode. Go Wiz.